very much appreciate your ministry to the Lord Jesus Christ by singing in our service this evening. Well, welcome once again to our Sunday evening service. Here is a moving truth from God's Word as we begin to focus on the message that He has for us this evening. It's recorded for us in Romans 5, verses 1 and 2. The Bible declares, "Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand, and rejoice in hope of the glory of God." Praise the Lord for the gift of His grace in my life, which is afforded to me by the sacrifice of Jesus Christ, which is part of the gospel. Paul recorded what the gospel is in 1 Corinthians 15 when he wrote, "Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also ye have received, and wherein ye stand, by which also ye are saved, if ye keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless ye have believed in vain. For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that He was buried, and that He rose again the third day according to the Scriptures." That is the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ. A week ago, we began a journey through the epistle to the Galatians that we are calling plus nothing grace. We opened our examination of this letter by looking at the amazing grace of God. Paul ended his salutation, his opening to this letter in verse 5, and then went straight to the purpose of his letter in verse 6. So I'd like you to follow along as we read Galatians 1, verses 6 through 10. There we read, "I marvel that ye are so soon removed from Him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel, which is not another, but there be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. But though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. As we said before, so say I now again. If any man preach any other gospel unto you than that ye have received, let him be accursed. For do I now persuade men or God? Or do I seek to please men? For if I yet pleased men, I should not be the servant of Christ." Let's begin with prayer, shall we? Lord, as we open the Word of God, we know that we are opening Your Word, Your absolute truth to us. Lord, it's not just a book of words written a long time ago for the people who lived then. It is Your Word penned by holy men You chose and moved by the Holy Spirit of God to write Your words for us. And I ask that as we come to this time of looking to the Word of God, that You would open our minds that we might understand, open our hearts that we might obey and respond. And Lord, I ask that You would be glorified. May we be changed more into the image of Jesus Christ. We will be sure to praise and thank you for it in Jesus' precious name. Amen. How many of you, when you are drinking coffee or perhaps your tea or something along those lines, use an artificial sweetener rather than a real sweetener, I guess we would say? How many of you that would be true of? All right, a number of you. If you ever look up how many of you have problems from time to time with flies in your house? Little flies. Okay, many of you. If you ever decide that you want to try to do a little home remedy for catching flies in your home, you might come across some different ideas. We know that something sweet often will be attractive to flies, something like honey. In fact, there's a common phrase, perhaps you've heard before, it goes like this: you can catch more flies with honey than you will with vinegar. But the reality is that if you use an artificial sweetener instead of pure honey, the pure honey will attract and get the flies sticky and hold them there. The artificial sweetener will actually kill the fly. Now, in that situation, the artificial sweetener might be more beneficial to you than something like pure honey, because after all, I don't want to just get a fly sticky and then release it into the nature. I'm good with the fly dying, right? A scholar by the name of Robert Rappa writes in his Bible commentary that in the same way that artificial sweetener can be dangerous to flies, artificial gospels can be dangerous to believers. He writes, alternative gospels distort God's intended redemptive activity and leave humanity to suffer the just results of sinfulness. These gospels do not reconcile people to God, do nothing to remedy human sinfulness, and thus must be condemned in the strongest possible way, particularly since God has provided in the gospel of Christ the way of escape. As we read verses 6 through 10 of Galatians chapter 1, we begin to understand more of what the issue was at the Galatian church. As Paul penned these words to the Galatian Christians, not only was he defending God's amazing grace, but he was also defending the pure gospel of Jesus Christ. As we see in these verses, Paul was very concerned about the purity of the gospel. Through this passage, I hope that we who know Jesus Christ will commit to being followers and proclaimers of the pure gospel. I'd like to ask you to write down the three declarations of Paul from this passage as we go through it this evening. Number one is this. Paul declared that the Galatian believers had deserted the God of grace. As we looked at verses 1 through 5, Paul is opening his letter, introducing himself, and just giving a salutation to the Galatian believers. But in those five verses, he focuses on the grace of God. Now he transitions to the gospel of Jesus Christ, which is a natural follow to the grace of God. And so you see grace and the gospel being joined together through these verses of Scripture. Again, I'll point out to you that Paul, unlike other epistles, does not go from saluting the believers to commending them or praising them or demonstrating his thankfulness for them in any way, but he immediately jumps into the heart, the purpose of his writing, which was a rebuke for their behavior. He says here, I marvel that ye are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel, which is not another, But there be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. That word marvel is a word of surprise and astonishment. It's frequently used by orders of as a signal of astonishment, rebuke, disapproval, and disappointment. So when Paul writes this, he essentially says, I'm surprised, I'm astonished, but in using that word, he is also signifying his disappointment. You can hear the tone of rebuke in his voice, his disapproval of the action of the Galatian believers. What is it that he's so astonished about? He says that you're so soon, so quickly removed. That signifies a departure or change. It's used throughout the Greek language to speak of the altering of a treaty, the changing of an opinion, or even deserting an army. What pictures for these Galatian believers who, when Paul had come through during his first missionary journey as described in Acts 13 and 14 and traveled through the region of Galatia and had preached unto them the gospel of Jesus Christ, which we read about in 1 Corinthians 15, that we are saved through the sacrifice of Jesus Christ, His burial and resurrection, faith alone in the finished work of Jesus Christ. But now these believers, those who had so readily accepted the gospel message of the Apostle Paul, are now in the process. The original word here is in the middle voice in the continuous present, indicating that they were in the process of apostasy, that it was not yet consummated. They are in the process of transitioning from a faith-based gospel to a legalistic, works-based gospel. What were they in the process of removing themselves from, though, specifically? Warren Wiersbe said it this way. He said the Galatian believers were not simply changing religions or changing churches, but were actually abandoning the very grace of God. But then he goes on and says, to make matters worse, they were deserting the very God of grace. Isn't that what Paul said there in verse number 6? He didn't say, I marvel that you're so soon removed from the grace. He said, I marvel that you're so soon removed from Him that called you into the grace of Christ. It wasn't simply that they were deserting the message of God's grace. Paul said in doing this, they were very real, in a very real way, deserting God Himself. And what was it that they were deserting God for? Notice the end of verse 6. He says, unto another gospel, verse 7, which is not another. Now that sounds a little funny in our English language, doesn't it? You are leaving God and the gospel of grace unto another gospel, which is not another. There's a nuance in the language that we need to understand. There are two different original words that are translated another in this verse. Let me explain. You could read it this way. So follow along in verse 6 and 7 and listen to the little nuance. I marvel that ye are so soon removed from Him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another of a different kind gospel, which is not another of the same kind. In the Greek language, the first another comes from an original word that specifically represents something that is of a different sort, while the second another in verse 7 represents something that is of the same sort. You say, Pastor, I'm not really picturing it. Well, let me help you with a simple illustration. An orange and an apple are different, right? Now, yes, they're both fruit, but they come from a completely different type or sort of fruit. You don't hold up an apple and an orange and ask somebody, you know, do you want one of these apples or do you want one of these oranges, right? They're of a completely different sort or kind. Now, on the other hand, if I hold up a Granny Smith apple and hold up a Honeycrisp apple and I ask you, do you want an apple? You're not going to look at me and say, well, one of those is an apple and one isn't, will you? Apple and orange, they're two of a different sort, a different kind. Granny Smith apple, Honeycrisp apple, they're two of the same sort, same kind. They're both apples, just a different variety. Here's what Paul is saying when he speaks of this here, when he says that they have deserted the God of grace unto another gospel, which is another gospel. His point is simply this. There's only one gospel. There is only one message of good news. There are not many. The gospel of Christ is not just one among many, nor are there even different sorts or kinds of this gospel. There is only one gospel. The gospel that he had proclaimed. Paul made declaration that the Galatian believers had deserted the God of grace. But then if you would move on to the second declaration, it's this. Paul declared that the troublers had perverted the gospel of Christ. In the middle of verse number 7, Paul began to shift his attention from the Galatian believers who had deserted the God of grace to those who had brought in this damnable heresy. He referred to these as, verse 7, some that trouble you. The Greek definite article is present in the original, so we could rightly call this group simply the troublers. In presenting another gospel, they were actually perverting the gospel of Jesus Christ. Again, Paul's overall point here is there is only one gospel, the pure gospel, if you will, of Jesus Christ. It's not one among many, and it's not different sorts or kinds. There is one true gospel of Jesus Christ. So he says of these who had come in and begin to confuse and begin to agitate and begin to turn the Galatian believers, he refers to them as troublers who were perverting the gospel of Christ. The word pervert here means to turn about, to turn around, or change. This was not a greater understanding of the gospel. It was not a more full revelation of the gospel. It was a downright perversion. The word is an emphatic word. For example, it was used in Acts chapter 2 and verse 20, speaking of the sun. When we think of the sun, we think of the sun as light, as a light source. But in Acts 2 verse 20, this word, it speaks of the sun being turned to darkness. In James chapter 4 verse 9, this word is used of laughter being turned to mourning. If you think of the sun, darkness, laughter, mourning, you think of opposites. It effectively speaks of that in that way of thinking, opposites. So when Paul says here that these people were perverting the gospel, changing the gospel has the effect of making it the very opposite of what it really is. Now the question is, how was this demonstrated in Galatia? If you go back and read in Acts chapter 13 and 14, Paul and Barnabas were traveling through this region of Galatia and many different towns of that region preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. But then in Acts chapter 15 and verse number 1, here's what the Bible says. And certain men which came down from Judea taught the brethren. The Bible says here that there were some who came from Judea, what we would think of Israel, Jewish territory, came to this place, this region in Galatia where Paul and Barnabas had traveled teaching and preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ, and began to teach the brethren. And here's what they taught them. The Bible says, Acts 15, verse 1, and said, except ye be circumcised after the manner of Moses, ye cannot be saved. Now think of that. This is where we get the term Judaizers. Those who were of Jewish descent, whether they were true believers or not, whether they themselves had placed their faith and trust in Christ and then added the law, or they were not believers in Christ at all, yet tried to make this new Christian faith just another form of Judaism, came to the region of Galatia, a Gentile region, and began teaching the Gentiles that Paul and Barnabas had led to Christ during their first missionary journey. Hey, listen, we've got some more revelation from God for you. Unless you are circumcised according to the law of Moses, you cannot be saved. What were they effectively saying? The gospel is not about grace, it's about works. The gospel is not about the finished work of Jesus Christ. It's about your work. The gospel is not Jesus Christ plus nothing. The gospel is Jesus Christ plus this list. The law. These rituals. What is the pure gospel message? They said, except ye be circumcised after the manner of Moses, ye cannot be saved. Jesus said in John 3, verse 3, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Jesus went on to explain what he meant when he said later on in that passage, John chapter 3, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have ever eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Jesus Christ himself taught that the pure gospel of Jesus Christ is not me and my work plus these things, but me and my work plus nothing. That is the pure gospel of Jesus Christ. But these had come in perverting the gospel of Jesus Christ, turning the believers at Galatia from the God of grace to their own works. Paul saw this as such a challenge to Christianity. Paul saw this as such an error that in verses 8 to 9, he essentially repeats himself emphatically and even adding to the emphasis between the two verses. Look at them again. He says, but though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. Verse number 9, we find in the verbiage the subjunctive mood used, which in the Greek language is the mood of possibility. It's not necessarily indicating what is reality or actuality. It's simply relating what could be. And Paul says here, even if I myself came back to you and preached another gospel, or if an angel from heaven were to come and appear to you and preach another gospel, were to take from or add to the gospel of Jesus Christ, it is a perversion and he is to be accursed. That is a curse of divine judgment. It is the severest language possible known to Paul. Essentially, Paul is saying here that that individual, that angel, should be eternally damned and judged by God. That is a very severe curse, if you will, that Paul places. But then I want you to notice in verse number 9, there's a change. In verse number 8, he says, though we are an angel from heaven, and he uses the mood of possibility, the realm of possibility. In verse number 9, he said, as we said before. Now, he's not referencing what he just wrote in verse number 8. He's referencing when he was with them and preached to them the gospel of Jesus Christ and made clear to them then that the gospel was about the grace of God, the finished work of Jesus Christ. He says, I have said this to you before, and I am telling you again, notice, if any man preach any other gospel unto you than that ye have received, let him be accursed. In verse number 8, he uses the mood of possibility. In verse number 9, he's using the indicative mood, which is the mood of actuality. It might be possible that there would be a time that I or an angel would preach another gospel unto you. The reality is that someone has preached another gospel unto you. And just as I said in verse number 8, if that were to ever happen with me or another angel, let him be accursed. God's eternal judgment be upon him. I am announcing God's eternal judgment on those who have come into you and preached this damnable heresy. Friends, the pure gospel of Jesus Christ is an absolutely fundamental matter in the Word of God. And in our faith. Now, I want you to see what the effect was of all of this on the Galatians. What effect did this have on the Galatian believers? Paul deals very severely with the false teachers, with the troublers, those who perverted the gospel of Jesus Christ. But he also indicates the effect that this had on the Galatians. Verse number 7. He says, but there be some that trouble you. The troublers, they're troubling you. The word trouble means to disturb, to agitate, to jumble up, or to confuse. It's the word used in Matthew 14 to describe the state of the disciples when they were caught in the storm on the Sea of Galilee. They were troubled. It's also the word used to describe the reaction of King Herod in Matthew chapter 2 when he heard of a new king that had been born from the wise men who came from the east. King Herod was troubled. Here Paul uses that same word to describe the reaction or the effect that the perversion of the gospel of Christ had had on the Galatian believers. The believers had deserted the God of grace. Let me remind you that grace leads to peace. He said in verse number 3, grace be to you and peace from God the Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ. Peace always follows grace. We'd read Romans chapter 5, verse number 1 earlier, where the Bible again says these words, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Peace always follows grace. But these believers had deserted the grace of God, in doing so had deserted the God of grace, or at least were in the process of doing so. We are saved by grace, and we are to live by grace. It is grace that is foundational to our Christian lives. Grace that gives us strength to be victorious. And grace that enables us to glory in tribulation. But when a believer turns away from God's grace, he must begin to rely on his own power and resources. There he finds not peace, but trouble. Why were the Galatians so troubled by those who perverted the gospel of Jesus Christ? Because they had begun to buy into the message. And they were in the process of turning from the God of grace to themselves. What did Paul say in the book of Romans? He said this essentially, that if salvation is not of the grace of God. If it's of works at all, it is none of grace. It's either all of grace or all of works. And when we begin to desert the grace of God, when we begin to turn from the God of grace, we must understand that we are saved by grace and God wants us to live by grace. That His grace enables us. His grace makes us what we are. His grace gives strength. His grace enables us not just to go through tribulation and suffering, but to actually glory in tribulation and suffering. But when we turn from God's grace, when we begin to desert God's grace and the God of grace and rely on ourselves, we will not find peace, only trouble. Peace can only follow grace. So here's the application for our lives today, friends. Do not desert the God of grace or pervert the gospel of Christ. Don't turn away from the grace of God and standing in the grace of God and operating in the grace of God, living in the grace of God to your own resources, to your own power. You will not find peace. You will only find trouble. And certainly do not pervert the gospel of Jesus Christ by adding to or taking from. Be cautious of those who espouse deserting the God of grace or pervert the gospel of Jesus Christ. Any cult that adds to God's revelation would be included here. Any denomination or group that claims exclusive rights and privileges would be included here. The social gospel so prevalent in our day would be included here. Landmarkism or Baptist bride theology is another example that would be included. Lordship salvation and Calvinism are another examples of this. It's not my intention in this message to go through all of the beliefs of these various examples that I've mentioned tonight. It's enough to simply say that these in various ways desert the God of grace and pervert the gospel of Christ. And we need to be cautious of those who make those things a practice. Paul made three declarations. I want to show you the third one. He declared that the Galatians had deserted the God of grace, that the troublers had perverted the gospel of Jesus Christ. And then thirdly, I want you to see this. Paul declared that he was committed as a servant of Christ. Look at verse number 10 again. Paul asks a couple of questions. He says, "For do I now persuade men or God? Or do I seek to please men? For if I yet pleased men, I should not be the servant of Jesus Christ." In this portion of the text, Paul was likely responding to the Judaizers' accusation that he was focused on pleasing men. It is probable, even most likely, as Paul throughout this epistle has to defend his authority as an apostle, that the Judaizers had called that authority into question in different ways. And one of the ways that they most probably called it into question was to call into question Paul's behavior, his work as an apostle, the way that he went about his work, and even his message. They accused him of focusing on pleasing man, of formulating a gospel that was very, in their opinion, or in what they said, man-centered and man-pleasing. This may have been an early form of an attack on Paul for a version of what they may have considered easy believism. Christ plus nothing that's too easy, that's too simple. There must be more to it than that. Paul's response was very simple. He simply says, "If I were seeking to please men, I would not be the servant of Jesus Christ." You see, service to Jesus Christ often runs contrary to, not parallel with, pleasing man. The one who is a true servant, bond servant, slave, doulos of Jesus Christ, that service often runs contrary to and not parallel with pleasing man. Can I ask you a question? Are you a committed servant of Jesus Christ? Paul simply said, it's not my business. It's not my efforts to go about to please man. He said, I am focused solely on pleasing Jesus Christ. He stated that we need to commit to being a follower and proclaimer of the pure gospel of Jesus Christ. Don't desert the God of grace. Don't pervert the gospel of Christ. But be a committed follower and proclaimer of the pure gospel. Let me ask you, are you committed to following and proclaiming the pure gospel of Jesus Christ? If so, then rather than deserting the grace of God and the God of grace, you should live in the grace of God. His grace has saved you. Stand in His grace. Depend on Him and His resources and be at peace. Do not pervert the gospel of Jesus Christ by giving place to those who come proclaiming Jesus plus anything. The gospel is plus nothing. Jesus plus nothing. The gospel is about His finished work. It's all of God's grace in the work of Jesus Christ and nothing of us at all. Be a committed servant of Jesus Christ. When pleasing Christ and pleasing man run contrary to each other, determine to choose to please Jesus Christ. Would you bow your heads and close your eyes with me this evening? Some great applications for our lives today. I think there are many times when we fall into the trap of deserting the God of grace. You say, Pastor, I don't live that the gospel, that my salvation is grace plus. It is Jesus Christ plus. But don't we at times? God saved us by His grace. He wants us to live by His grace. Anytime we turn away from God's grace to our own resources, to our own power, our own strength, we are deserting the grace of God and the God of grace. We're in the process of turning to ourselves, thinking we can live in our own strength. Are you ever troubled by those who pervert the grace of God, the gospel of Jesus Christ? Don't give place to that in your life. Don't be troubled, agitated, confused, jumbled about to and fro by those who pervert the gospel of Christ. Are you committed as a follower, a servant of Jesus Christ? Maybe you're here tonight and you say, Pastor, God has spoken to my heart tonight in one or more of these areas. If that's you, would you just raise your hand? Pastor, that's me. God has spoken in my heart tonight about one or more of these areas tonight. I see those hands. In just a moment, after we pray, we'll have an invitation. I'll ask you to stand to your feet. And if God has spoken to your heart, won't you come? Respond as the Lord leads. Heavenly Father, thank You so much for Your Word and Your truth. I pray, Lord, that You would help us to respond to it now. Lord, the gospel, the pure gospel of Jesus Christ, the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ as the fulfillment of Your redemptive work that we are to trust in, that we are to live in, to allow You to continue to have Your transforming work being done in us, to live in Your grace, to walk by Your grace. I pray we'd not be guilty of deserting the grace of God not be guilty of perverting the gospel of Jesus Christ or giving place to those who do. Help us not to be guilty of choosing to please man when it runs contrary to pleasing Christ. I pray you'd help us as you're working in hearts to respond in obedience in Jesus' name. With